All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Mike Griffith is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Alpha Acres is on. D95.97 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Waterline 46 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Dave Souders is on. Six Lynn is on. Alpha Acres is on. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. PSU is on. Leon Fish Puppies on. Titus is on. Veronica 182-18201 is on. KGP Co. is on. The Picket Fence is on. Let's see here. Big Jim Go Blue with the Banana Dance is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Michelle Tell is on. Lisa Kinzer. 11960 is on. Let me see. Key Lime 13 is on. Let me see here. Confederate 1 is on. TJT1 is on. Julie, I got that one. Luann 5 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Scrolling down. Keeper 1376 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Let me see here. Jen 11 Live Free is on. Producer Aaron is on. Nate Dad is on. Patriot of the North is on. Spaz 64 is on. Neon Widow is on. Lisa Sobo is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. All right, pretty much PG Wiles 1 is on. Appreciate you guys, each and every one of you. Now, just off of the one thing off of the pregame, those crime stats coming from the newly appointed, newly confirmed FBI Director Kash Patel, those numbers were truly unbelievable. And this is what landed at the end of the Biden administration, is we have 100,000 rapes a year in the United States of America. Those are the ones that are reported. So you can times that by 1, 2, or 3. And so you have a rape that's reported every 6 minutes, 100,000 ODs, primarily from fentanyl. One of those is happening every 6 minutes. You have 17,000 homicides. You have a homicide every 30 minutes in the United States. That's what's been handed to the Trump administration. All those numbers went exponentially down in Trump's first term from 17 to 21. And they will exponentially go down again because the law enforcement feels empowered once again to actually enforce laws. Will they go down in Democrat-controlled cities? No, but they will go down everywhere else. And Kash Patel will make sure because those UCR, remember, I didn't mean to deep dive into this, but remember what was changed under the Biden administration. Those are the numbers that are actually being reported. These are the palatable numbers because 44% of police agencies, these are UCR numbers, UCR stands for Uniform Crime Report out of the FBI, 44% of police agencies are no longer reporting to the UCR. So that's only representative of 56% of the crime. And that includes LA Police Department, Miami Police Department, New York Police Department. None of them report to the UCR anymore. I believe also Chicago doesn't report to the UCR. So these numbers are actually quite low. Now Trump will probably, because that was a EO, but for all intents and purposes, written by the Biden administration, that police agencies no longer have to report their crime statistics to the UCR. So that's why they were able to claim crime went down. Well, crime didn't go down. Again, it's not how many people vote. It's who counts the vote. It was just they were no longer counting 44% of crime. And even in the midst of that, crime went up 24%. I mean, went up 12%, even as they were no longer reporting 44%. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, so here just in time now, just in time, lo and behold, coming from Unusual Wells. Don't worry, guys. I know that's not the next one up. But I want to give credit where credit is due. It has turned out, and I got this from Alex Jones via Unusual Whales, there's a new COVID. Shocking. In the midst of all of these Trump triumphs, there's a new COVID that's being introduced to the world. Most people haven't heard of it. It certainly didn't make headline news today because what they're going to try to do is monkeypox us, okay? They're going to trial balloon this thing, see if it can take off, see how many idiot Christians will close their churches, put on masks and whore vaccines from their pulpits. Let's see if that works again. So we'll see if it works. So that's what they're going to do. They tried it with monkeypox. They tried it with bird flu. Bird flu is percolating again. Talks about bird flu are percolating again. Because why do eggs cost $10 a carton? Because they killed all the freaking chickens. If you kill all the chickens in the name of bird flu, eggs are probably going to go up. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking to make sure my math is right.
Pretty logical.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. if you're going to call hundreds of millions of chickens, you know what? Chances are, and by the way, just in case I don't get to the bird flu section tonight, just so you know, most you're told by whores like Scott Gottlieb, who, of course, put out all his vaccine information. He's the one who came up with the 6-foot social distancing rule out of thin air and then hoarded the vaccines, naming from Pfizer, of whom now he sits on the Pfizer board. But he comes out and says, none of the birds ever survived bird flu. That's a bold-faced lie. 98% of them survive the bird flu and end up with an immunity that gets passed on from generation to generation. You ever wonder why the birds actually die of bird flu? Well, because they kill them all, so nobody ever actually develops an immunity for bird flu. Duh. These are the doctors and the experts. All right, so let me have Billy just give us his usual warnings. Here he is talking to Katie Couric. Camus video, Bill Gates warns. Play for me, Brent.
You have predicted that the chance of another pandemic in the next 4 years is between 10 and 15%, and that we're absolutely not prepared for it. I'm curious why you think global leaders are not taking this threat seriously enough. This has sort of been the case for pandemics for a while. Even after COVID, it seems like we haven't put the infrastructure in place to deal with something like that happening in the future. And I'm curious why you think that's the case.
Well, there are countries like China and India that are actually doing some great things.
But I guess maybe then in this country.
Would make them more ready for the next pandemic. The U.S. is kind of strange because we're still kind of arguing about
where the virus came from.
No, well, that too. But even, in the end, at the end of any emergency action like that, you realize, okay, now we've gone too far, and the remedy is greater than the benefit. And so, when should we have known that? And whose fault was that?
So suddenly, of course, we have these high percentages of a possibility of a pandemic, right? When the last pandemic was 1917, you're like, no, Tom, you have to count 2020 with corona. No, that was not a pandemic with a 99.997% survival virus. But what about all the hullabaloo? What about the $7 trillion? What about the masks and the social distancing and the shutdowns and the Zoom calls and the Zoom services and the vaccine 1 through 10? What about all that? That was all a giant freaking hoax. Where are the bodies? If it's not a hoax, then show me the bodies. Why did excess deaths only start in 2021? Not during the alpha variant. The alpha variant, the most powerful variant of COVID-19, which still was 99.9% survivable, but it was the most powerful. And more people died of Omicron than Alpha and Delta combined, and Omicron was nothing more than a scratchy throat and a runny nose. I mean, Omicron was nothing more than a scratchy throat and a runny nose because nobody had an immune system anymore. That's why now we have 35 million excess deaths, according to the Society of Actuaries, which is life insurance companies. And why is all of a sudden we're so likely we're going to have another pandemic when our last pandemic was 1917 with the Spanish flu? Why is it that suddenly we're going to have, and again, those unsanitary conditions when you're walking down the road, same thing with measles. The reason why we had measles outbreaks where a whole 300 Americans died. 300 Americans died of the measles. We need a vaccine. When you're walking down the road, walking next to feces, that's why people died. So nothing to do with the measles. And they all would have survived now, and nobody would have even died of a Spanish flu, statistically speaking, because people always die, depending on what kind of comorbidities they have. And they've yet to prove that one child has ever died of COVID-19 who's healthy. Not one. Worldwide, not one. And yet everybody insists they be vaccinated numerous times. So there's Billy giving his usual warnings that at any moment we can face a pandemic when the likelihood of that is basically statistically zero. And then he cites, as his great examples of pandemic response, one country he's not even allowed in or he's going to face criminal trial, which is India, because he paralyzed 96,000 of their kids in his polio vaccines, with his polio vaccines. And then, of course, he mentions China does a great job. The ones who had COVID camps, forced vaccinations, the culling of their dogs and cats for COVID. Who kills a cat because of COVID? China. Mary, I could barely watch the videos. Oh, they're rounding up those dogs and beating them to death.
Horrible.
I'm going to tell you what. And that's who Billy, that's who, and China now is this totally CBDC, and so is a CBDC economy and totally run with social credit scores. That's that entirely. Aaron put up a side-by-side video, one of our recent podcasts. Everywhere you go, you have a QR-coded Mark of the Beast, and that's the only way for you to leave your 15-minute city, enter your 15-minute city, buy, sell, trade, or travel is with your QR-coded Mark of the Beast. And, of course, that's what Bill calls a great example of pandemic response, because all pandemics are in today's day and age is a vehicle to launch totalitarianism, and that's what Billy actually wants. And, of course, it's so funny. Imagine the audacity. Imagine the freaking audacity of saying, quiet, Aaron, of saying that China is your ultimate example. When you gave tens of millions of dollars to the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which funds the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and didn't just give to the Chinese Academy of Sciences, gave tens of millions of dollars directly to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where we all know the original coronavirus was made by Dr. Xi, Dr. Li, whatever her name was, the bat lady. And was that, I mean, we all know that. It was man-made, it's coming out, it was lab-born out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology that he funded. And he still is saying that China's a great example of pandemic response, knowing that he's the one who actually created COVID-19. Also, along with Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, Ralph Baric out of UNC, and of course, Anthony Fauci. So there, I mean, imagine the audacity of saying China's the ultimate example when you're the one who funded the Chinese Academy of Sciences and the Wuhan Institute of Virology that created the alpha variant of COVID-19. Can you imagine that? And Katie Couric just sits there with her thumbs up her rear end and says nothing. I mean, just imagine being so devoid of any journalistic integrity that you won't even bring up the fact that your example of great pandemic response is the country where you created COVID-19. Amazing. All right, so here it is. Unusual whales tweet. Alex Jones also put this out today. Breaking: a new coronavirus with the ability to spread to humans. Shocking. Shocking, because once you create one variant that spreads to human beings and it has an animal host, which is potentially a human being, because we are mammals, guess what you'll always have? One variant after another. One variant. They've discovered one. Where, of course, did they discover it? Wuhan Institute of Virology. I mean...
Oh. Weird. Huh.
I mean, and you know what? This is the saddest thing, is that every human being should grab a microphone and be acting just as animated as I am. But they won't. They'll cave again. There's going to be evangelical pastors, if it comes out again, that will cave again with their no longer a slave to fear masks on, with the slits cut in them for their flute players. They'll do it again, because none of them ever repented to begin with. It's right out of Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you can't see things. It's all about perception. And here it is again. Imagine the audacity of the new variant coming from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This is all facts, by the way. And it's all been acknowledged by China. Aaron, give me Trump and China.
China.
There you go.
It's from China.
There you go. See? That's Trump himself speaking right now. All right, breaking: a new coronavirus with the ability to spread to humans, similar to the COVID-19 pandemic, has been discovered in... Give it to me one more time, Aaron.
China.
There you go. Per researchers at Wuhan Institute of Virology, Wuhan Institute of Virology and Newsweek, per researchers at Wuhan Institute of Virology and the bastion of right-wing conservatism, Newsweek. And here's the new name. I'm going to call it Haku 5. Haku 5 Cove 2 is a coronavirus belonging to the, Covirus group, which also includes the virus that causes MERS. It has a higher potential to infect humans than other coronaviruses because of the way it binds to the human ACE2 receptor, which is what they enabled the original COVID-19 to do. SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2 were created in the lab to bind to human ACE2 receptors in the lab. But somehow it's been discovered in the lab. They didn't create, they're saying that it's discovered in the lab. How's anything discovered in a lab? I mean, it says per researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which translation is they created it in the lab and it's gotten out. There you go. So here it is again, right on time of Trump's victories, right? Here it is, right on time. Here's a little bit of info on it. What makes Haku 5, I'm just calling it that. It's HKU 5, but I'm calling it Haku. Sounds kind of Hawaiian. Haku, Cove 2. Notable, what makes HKU 5, Cove 2, notable is its ability to bind to the ACE2 receptor, the same receptor used by SARS-CoV-2, to enter human cells. This increases its potential to infect humans compared to many other bat coronaviruses. The study highlights that while Haku-Cov-2 has the biological capability to infect humans, the actual risk of spillover to humans remains unknown. Why is it unknown? Because they want to see how it lands. They want to see what these announcements are going to do. Will they drive up Democratic Party fervor? Will they get the Democrats to put, I mean, a lot of them still wear their 2020 swastikas on their face. There's still many people walking around with masks on. When I traveled to Las Vegas recently, still put plenty of people in the airport walking around with masks on in 2025. I mean, truly amazing. We just chronicled last night, many of you heard because it was over a week old, J.D. Vance's relative unable to get a heart transplant because she doesn't have the vaccine. It has not ended at all. There's still idiots walking around with masks on. Tom, you're a pastor. You shouldn't call them idiots. Listen, Jesus called people whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones, sons of hell. I'm calling them idiots. You're an idiot if you walk around with a mask on. You're an idiot. Number one, it does absolutely nothing. So why you're wearing a mask is unknown. And you, not only that, you look like an idiot, and you're depriving yourself of much, much needed oxygen because you're already stupid. You need as much oxygen flowing in as possible. You need as much oxygen saturation in that already limited brain as you possibly could get. So they're going to see what this does, what this little announcement does. Monkeypox, we all blew off because we all knew what it was. We all knew it was Oaks, and they're going to see what kind of response do we get first from the Democrats. We're going to get like Fat Boy Pritzker out of Chicago in Illinois. Are they going to start responding and saying we need to be dumping money into HKU 5 COVID 2. We need to dump money into. We need to get it prepared for it. We need to have a pandemic response team. All those different that's what they're saying. If they get plenty of groundswell, then they're going to take it to the next level and start looking for social distancing, start looking for some masking. So start off with precautionary measures, whatever those may be, alerts. Thank God we're not part of the World Health Organization anymore, not part of their pandemic freaking treaty, because here's their optimum opportunity. Imagine if Kamala Harris was president right now, we'd already be in lockdown for Haku-Cov-2. You'd already be, not me and you, because me and you aren't going to do lockdowns. I'm not doing lockdowns. Just watch, Mark, look at me right now, face to face. I'm not doing lockdowns. I never have, never will. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not social distancing. Matter of fact, if you tell me to social distance, I'll make sure that I hug every single one of the 900 to 1,000 people that attend this church every Sunday.
That's right.
I will. And we will never close. We never have, and we never will. We never social distance. We never limited anything ever, nor will we ever. And I don't care about Haku-Cov-2. I don't care. So here he is, Chief Whore. I mean, these people like Scott Gottlieb, they're given this credibility as experts. Scott Gottlieb has never ever cured a disease in his life. He's never helped a person in his life. He's on the board of Pfizer. So here comes the whore. Here comes the prostitute. Here comes the whore. Here comes the pimp for the vaccines. New Scott Gottlieb. Are we talking about vaccines already? Maybe. Play for me.
From a scientific standpoint, we'd be pretty able to prepare countermeasures against this vaccines and monoclonal antibody drugs. This virus that they sampled, they did experimentation in human cells, human organoids, and found that it bound to the same receptor that SARS-CoV-2 binds to. So presumably you'd be able to develop a vaccine against it. So I think from a scientific standpoint, we would be able to pivot to countermeasures if, in fact, this spilled over, which I don't expect this to spill over, barring them having an accident with it, making a mistake with it, which I would hope that they're taking precautions to make sure that they handle this under tighter provisions right now. This experimentation was done a while ago, by the way, and the report was published 2 days ago. So this is not necessarily a new finding. I think it spilled into the market today because it was picked up by some prominent publications, but it actually has been circulating in scientific circles for a couple of days now.
Now, again, this is the guy who created this. He was actually sadly part of the Trump COVID response task force. Notice here now, Aaron knows, says, I didn't even notice it when I put in the video for the podcast. Look at Pfizer stock right next to Scott Gottlieb, who sits on their board. Pfizer stock's going through the roof. So's Moderna. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, and credit to CNBC. And lo and behold, all travel stocks are going down. You're going to see airlines are going down, and then next up is cruise lines, and they're going down. It's amazing. I mean, here it is. There they all going down. All anything travel where you might have to stand within 6 feet of somebody, that's already going down. They're trying to gin this up. They're trying to do it. Credit to CNBC for actually putting "There Comes Pfizer" back to Pfizer again. It's up. this truly is amazing. They're trying to do this again, coming from Wuhan. I mean, the audacity of it all. You think that they try to like pull it off from Turkestan or something? They're going to go right back to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and claim that they've discovered, not that it leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but the Wuhan Institute of Virology has discovered another COVID-19, another SARS-CoV-2 that they've named. I got to keep this name out. HKU5, which I'm calling Haku-5. So, and here again is Scott Gottlieb, given credibility as an expert, and he's never solved a thing in his life, was wrong about masking, wrong about the vaccine, said that it stopped transmission, said that it stopped infection, it did nothing, was never even tested for it, and whores like him are out there for months saying that it stops transmission and infection. And by the way, Deb Burks is trying to do a mea culpa tour now because she's trying to avoid prosecution. Because where was she during the first year of the pimping and the whoring of the vaccine that it stopped transmission and infection? And they instituted mandates based on the non-fact that it stopped transmission and infection. Where was she for over a year? Where was she for 2 years? Said nothing. Absolutely nothing. And now she's out there saying, well, we overplayed the vaccines and they never did stop transmission infection. And we let people say it because we wanted to give them hope. No, that's a bold-faced freaking lying. And not only that, they were never even tested to see if they stopped transmission infection as testified to by a Pfizer executive under oath in the parliamentary hearing in the EU. All right, so there you go. I just wanted you to know, on the horizon, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Even Gottlieb, he's playing it both ends. We don't know. I don't know if it'll spill over or whatever. No, they're seeing how everybody lands with it. If they can gin up any fear, it'll start with you have, like, in the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, and we'll just say that being the Democratic Party here in the United States, represented by the Democratic Party in the United States of America, they're going to see, because in that party, everybody who's a Democrat's an idiot. But There is a clump of them, 30 or 40% of them, who are rabid morons who will do anything that a Biden tells them to do, anything that a Donna Brazile will tell them to do, anything that the DNC will tell them to do, anything that David Hogg will tell them to do, they will do it. Even if they know it's not true, they'll act like it's true and do it anyway. They're going to see how it lands with those idiots first. And if it lands big with them, they're going to try to spread it to the next layer of idiots, which is the rest of the Democratic Party, and then hope that it spills over to the Rhino Republicans, who are all vaxxed to this day. I mean, those are some of the most irritating press conferences I've ever heard where alleged conservative Republicans going up and saying, I'm already vaxxed, so I don't need to wear a mask. Why would you ever take that? Why would you ever take your theological, ideological, political and philosophical enemies' juice into your bloodstream? Why would you ever do that? You know they're liars. You know that Pfizer has been sued for at least $69 billion and have been found criminally liable. And yet suddenly they have altruistic motives, and you're going to take their vial of unknown juice that has simian virus in it? You're going to take it? You are fervently pro-life as a pastor, and you're going to take pro-choice, pro-death, baby butchering, a vaccine that comes from all of your political and ideological and theological opponents. You're just going to take that in your body, suddenly believing that now they have altruistic means. They butcher the unborn. They love to butcher the unborn. They support it. They send millions to it. They vote for all the people and support the campaigns of all the people that institute mass homicide of the unborn, and then suddenly they have altruistic motives and they want to save human lives when they kill 41 million per year in the womb. Imagine being a Christian stupid enough to preach that, which was most of Christianity. And I know that I'm on global Christian television network right now, and I say that to your freaking face. I hope that there's a big name that's watching right now. I really hope you are. And you can contact me, Aaron. You can put up our information. You can contact me and give me a call. I'll say it to your face. Call me. I'll say it to your face. Well, good on your favorite thing, a Zoom call, because you love to do Zoom services. I'll say it to your freaking face. Let me tell you something. You call me, you better be armed with all the statistical data, because I'm ready. Don't give me your Jesus is love stuff when you abided in lies. Here you go. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask, you desire, and it shall be done for you. Not just make up whatever version of Jesus that you want to make up and preach it. We don't do that. We preach the word of God. All right, here we go. Let's move on to Trump now. Breaking 9/11 video. This is the big viral thing today. As he stood, he just confronted Janet Mills, governor of Maine, one of the people who wanted to pull him off of the ballot, by the way. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever man says, that shall also reap. Enjoy it, Janet Mills. You wanted him off the ballot. Remember, you let your state attorney try to remove him off the ballot in Maine. Remember? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now you have an enemy in the president of the United States because you put all of your chips on Kamala. Give me a Kamala, Aaron.
Kamala Harris.
You put all your chips on her. So breaking 9/11 video. Hello, 9/11. I'd like to report a homicide. Play it for me.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you not going to comply with it? We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
Boom. That's what you do. And by the way, that's the way I pastor. It is. You watch anybody act up in the service. Aaron, do they stay in there long?
Oh, they gone.
You go bye-bye.
Yeah.
You go bye-bye. You want to act like an idiot in the middle of our service? You're going bye-bye.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you directly from the pulpit with 800 people sitting there watching you. No problem whatsoever. And then 500, 600, 700 people watching online as you get humiliated. No problem. That's what you do. That is being an alpha male. That is a man with testicular fortitude. That's what you do. And so she said, remember now, Janet Mills, governor of Maine, said, well, we'll see you in court. Well, you know what? Let's see who actually went to court first. Carly Bonet video. Play it for me, Brent.
Earlier today, we saw President Trump and the Maine governor squaring off, saying they would see each other in court. Because Maine is defying President Trump's new executive order on boys in playing in girls' sports at the high school level. Well, I've just been given, there is a new Title IX civil rights investigation that the Trump administration is launching against Maine. So President Trump was not lying when he said he will be seeing the Maine governor and her team in court over this. It says it is specifically because Greeley High School, a school under its jurisdiction, is continuing to allow at least one male student to compete in girls' categories. Martha.
Now you can put up that pic, Brent, of Janet Mills. So this is our opponent right here. Governor Janet Mills spent nearly $2.8 million on radical school lessons, which, of course, is DEI and how to lop off your penis and trans drag shows. We all know that. So you can leave that up. So that's who Donald Trump is against. Now, Janet says, well, we'll see you in court. You know what? Trump decides, you know what? I'll initiate the lawsuit. Because, you know, she's a Democrat, so it's all talk. It's all talk and no action. Donald Trump was, go ahead. It wasn't but an hour later Trump has initiated a lawsuit. You want to play? Democrats, you want to play? Let's play. I wish I could cuss right now because I'd do the whole F around and find out thing, but I can't cuss. I mean, if you so I'll just use fool. You want to fool around and find out? Fool around, find out. Go ahead. You want to fool around? Go ahead. You're now going to find out, Janet. Now you get sued. You're already being sued by the president of the United States, by the Trump administration. Good luck with that because you don't have good enough attorneys to win. And by the way, imagine being a Democrat and what you're fighting for is fully penis men being able to play against your daughters in volleyball games. Fully penis men setting Trump. I should have actually played the whole video because it's hilarious of that confrontation between him and Janet Mills. Because right before that, he was talking about a girl's weightlifting record. And weightlifting records, just so you know, are decided on eighths of pounds, halves of pounds. Where you're trying to break a record that has been sitting, you know, has been unbroken for a decade. And the next record underneath it for second place is a half a pound less. It's that small of a difference between world records. Well, a guy competed in the world's weightlifting meet and broke the women's world's record that's been sitting in place for like 17 years by 100 pounds. And this idiot right here, and all of you Democrats want to advocate for that? Imagine being on that side of an issue. Imagine being so stupid that you're on that side of an issue. I mean, there it is. That's the face of stupidity right there. I should have put up, there's actually way worse pictures of her, too. That's actually a complimentary picture because she's way uglier than that.
Oh, I can find some.
I shouldn't have said that because here comes Aaron. All right, let me show you this. Now, Gabriel video. You can't win when you don't know the facts. Here is Michael Knowles. I've been watching more and more Michael Knowles lately because he is the antithesis of me. He is like, he stays calm no matter what. Like, if I was in this thing, it'd be the shouting match. It would just descend into a, it would absolutely descend into chaos if I was there. I mean, you have to just admit who you are. I told Aaron, like, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, really? Every 6 months, you know, I'm going to melt down. Once every 6 months, I'm going to have meltdown. Okay? I mean, he knows. He's one of my best friends. He knows it's going to happen. There's no, listen, I need to change. It shouldn't happen anymore. But that's who I am right now. That's just who I am. Volatility, sadly, is a part of my life. So every 6 months right now, so I'm going to have a meltdown. But not Michael Knowles. Look at Michael Knowles. It with surgical precision, absolutely tear this trans advocate apart. Gabriel video. Play it for me, Brent.
My actual claim here is that transgenderism is false and we should eradicate it from public life because it's harmful to everyone.
Wait, if you want to talk about the claim, we're actually debating.
Yeah. What does transgenderism in public look like to you?
It's allowing men to be treated for the purposes of the law as women. It's men taking 900 sports trophies from women in recent years.
And they didn't take 900.
They took 900. There's a report just came out from the United Nations, actually. 890 trophies and medals across 600 women who were competitors across 29 different sports and 400 competitions. That came out like yesterday.
And they deserved them.
It didn't happen, and they deserve them. Okay, that is the logic I hear from the pro-trans crowd. Yeah.
Thank you. They do deserve them, because I'm sure they followed the specifications for the sport, and that's why they're there in the first place.
The specifications put in place by globalist leftist bourgeois elitists who don't care about women getting their faces punched in the Olympic boxing tournament. And what was so funny there is that last part. So the woman says, when Michael Knowles says that men have stolen 900 trophies and medals in 400 different competitions, and that's a UN statistic, so it's probably quadruple that amount, because that's what they believe is palatable for us, is that 900 fully penis men stole, stole 900 trophies and medals in women's competitions, said that never happened. Imagine, do you see the demonic conviction that she says? She really like believes it. It's like George Costanza on Seinfeld when he was trying to coach Jerry how to pass a polygraph. It's not a lie if you believe it. And so that's the thing. She thinks that if she says it convincingly enough, that it's not true. When her own globalist leftist bourgeois elitist organization, the UN, says that it's true. It's her own statistics. It'd be like a Planned Parenthood statistic for someone like her. That fully penis men had actually stolen 900 trophies and medals from women in women's competition. That didn't happen. And then he says it came from the UN. Well, then they deserved it. And Michael Knowles says, oh, so it didn't happen, but they deserved it? That's your argument? That's what we're dealing with. It's not even a close competition. Trump is going to destroy Janet Mills because this whole transgender thing here. He's going to destroy her in court because there is no argument. All right, go to the next one for me. Here's another one. This is beautiful. Just in, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, imagine being this guy, is backing a proposed bill. Imagine having any level of zeal or enthusiasm to replace the word mother with inseminated person in state statute.
Oh,
jeez.
I mean, here we are. It's 2025, and you just got run. Trump won your state. And you are going to initiate a law. You're going to change verbiage in state statutes from mother to inseminated person? You believe that you have some sort of societal mandate to do that? A cultural mandate to do that? If anything, you have the opposite, even from your own party. There's so many Democrats that are so sick of this, they voted for Trump because they're like, yeah, you know what? I lean towards socialism. I believe in big government, but I certainly don't believe in a logical thought. A logical thought is saying that a man's a woman and a woman's a man, allowing a fully penis man to play in women's sports. That is illogical. Porn being allowed in school is illogical. Changing the verbiage in state statutes from mother to inseminated person is illogical. So that's why Democrats are running from people like Tony Evers, but they still don't get it. I love it. Keep doubling down. And as I've been saying for weeks, please run. I'm saying it right now. I'm going to get some campaign posters put together. Kamala 2028. Give me Trump. Give me Trump, Aaron, Kamala 2028.
Kamala 2028.
There we go.
Believe me.
Believe me. It'd be fantastic. All right, where the heck am I? Go to the next one. Another Eric Doherty tweet. Breaking. President Trump, Donald Trump's administration is firing, replacing the current ICE director because the rate of deportation is being lower than desired.
Yes.
I love it. Just fire him. And he just fired the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, too. You're fired. Bye-bye. You suck. You have no job. Bye-bye. That's exactly what needs to happen. You're not going to produce. Get out. Because you know what's happening. What they're trying to do is do the 2016 playbook, where Trump was elected in 2016. So starting in 2017, so 17, 18, 19, 20. So for those 4 years, everybody in the deep state, your ICE directors and your CBP on the border, yeah, your CIA, your FBI was all sabotaging Trump. Now they're all on his side. So if you're an ICE director and you're not pulling your weight, here comes Kristi Noem. And you're freaking fired. Simple as that. It's great. It's the greatest time ever to be an American. Speaking of Doge, only got one Doge slide tonight. Rapid Response 47 video. President Trump shuts down fake news ABC reporter. Who do you work for? Play for me.
Some members of Congress in red districts are facing pushback from voters in town halls. We know that Americans voted for you on immigration and the economy, but these voters say they're angry and frustrated by these firings. They don't like the work of Elon Musk and these other actions. What do you say to them?
Who do you work for?
I work for ABC News, sir.
Who?
ABC News.
No wonder. Let me just tell you that I have today the highest poll numbers I've ever had. I have today the highest poll numbers of any Republican president ever. We haven't even checked the Democrats, but that's what I was just told. And they like the job that we're doing. They like the job that Elon's doing. He's doing something that a lot of people wouldn't have the courage to do. We want to streamline our country. We want to streamline, because you know why? Because we want our country to survive and thrive. And we're finding billions and billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse. Billions. And I mean numbers like you wouldn't believe. And we haven't even started yet. So it's actually just the opposite. We've polled it, and people are thrilled. They can't even believe it's happening. And it won't affect many people. It only affects the people that get caught stealing. The waste, fraud, and abuse is at a level like nobody's ever seen. It's been going on for years. And all you have to do is look at the Social Security rolls. Look at some of the things. Look at where the money is going. The Attorney General is looking into something, environmental protection, $20 billion. And it's out and out fraud. So I think the people are very happy.
You want to talk about out and out fraud is what the ABC News reporter actually asked him. Quote, I'm hearing. Now, what does that mean? I'm making up. I'm going to translate for the left. I'm hearing that congressmen in red districts, Aaron and I and Brent, we're all sitting right here in a red district. Greg Stubbe's our representative in Congress. Congressmen in red districts are facing pushback for the cuts that Elon Musk is making. Now, there are people that follow politics closer than I do, but not many. There is nobody on the right complaining about Elon Musk. Not one. So this is a bold-faced lie. That's why Trump just went ahead and said, who do you work for, ABC News? Well, no wonder. He knows. They're just making up. This is ABC News is the outfit that just had to give him $16 million for George Stephanopoulos' lies. Yeah, so they just make it up. There's no. Why would any right-winger in a red district be pushing back because Elon Musk is cutting circumcisions in Mozambique? Why? None of us love it. I love every firing. I love the firings that we shouldn't even be firing. We can just hire them back later. I love every single bit of it. And I obviously speak for the right. I speak for the right just like Anthony Fauci allegedly speaks for science, right? But I mean, obviously I don't speak for the right, but I'm a representative of the right. I love every last bit of it. There's no pushback in any red district. Show me the videos. I would love to see the video from a legitimate Trump supporter complaining about Elon Musk's cuts of up. Aaron, you got put up the debt clock whenever if you can find the debt clock for all me. Right. And give me the total number of what he's cut so far. Now, any of the over $100 billion that he's already cut.
$122
billion so far. And if you can, just throw up that debt clock. But $122 billion that he's cut so far. And we're all going to be complaining about the possible $5,000 Doge dividend that we might get sometime in 2026? No, don't think so. And imagine being on this side. You actually voted for Jasmine Crockett, and she actually says things like, we can't afford the $5,000 dividend. We spent $7 trillion on COVID. A lot of that money was $1,200 checks sent to people during the COVID during the alleged COVID. I don't like to call it what it isn't, but I have to for ease of conversation. During the COVID pandemic, the faux COVID, the fraudulent COVID response to a fraudulent virus. But people were sent $1,200 checks. That was fine. Those are all debts. This wouldn't be out of debts. This would be out of savings. That was printed money. This is savings. And Jasmine Crockett saying that we can't afford it. But she loves all the $720 checks to the people in California for nothing. And imagine that. We can't afford it. And then she actually says at the end of the sentence, that $5,000 won't do anything for anybody, but she advocates for people to get $700 checks. That absolutely won't do it. Let's do a poll of the room. Got three people sitting in the room with me right now. Three total with me included. I'll speak for myself first. I'll take the $5,000 check out of this dividend right here of $122 billion. Brent, would you take yours?
Yeah.
Okay, Aaron.
Absolutely.
$5,000, I could use $5,000.
Yeah.
But Jasmine Crockett says it wouldn't make any difference. It makes some difference for me. Uh-huh. I love it. I'll pay some bills with that thing. I'm all perfectly fine with it. Hey, let's play the game, shall we, since we're here? Let's play the game. So here we are, $36,509,883,000,000 in debt. So here we go. Now, there we go. Now start the clock, Aaron. Aaron's on it. So here we are, $884 million. That's what we're tracking right now. There goes another $100,000 we just spent. There goes another $100,000 we just spent. There goes another $100,000 we just spent. There goes another $100,000 that we just spent. And there goes another $100,000 that we just spent. And there goes another $100,000 we just spent. And there goes $100,000 your Democrats supporting this. And we just spent another million. 19 seconds. We just spent $1 million. So every 19, because Aaron and I have timed it, I think at least three or four times, it's somewhere between 19 and 22 seconds every time. So basically, if you use the mean there, every 20 seconds, we spend $1 million. And Democrats are on the side of continuing that. That's what they're running on. They're going to lose the House in 2 years. Nobody ever loses a midterm, ever, when your opposing party's in the White House. They're going to lose the upcoming midterm if they keep doing what they're doing. They will. Absolutely will. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, here we go. Let's go to Ukraine for a couple minutes. Autism Capital video, Marco Rubio claims that President Zelensky acted two-faced with him and President Trump and warns him not to hustle the United States. Play for me, Brent.
When President Trump posts that President Zelensky is a dictator without elections, what are you thinking?
I think President Trump is very upset at President Zelensky, and in some cases, and rightfully so. Look, number one, Joe Biden had frustrations with Zelensky. People shouldn't forget it. There are newspaper articles out there about how he cursed at him in a phone call because Zelensky, instead of saying thank you for all your help, is immediately out there messaging what we're not doing or what he's not getting. I think the second thing is, frankly, I was personally very upset because we had a conversation with President Zelensky, the vice president and I, the two, three of us. And we discussed this issue about the mineral rights. And we explained to them, look, we want to be in a joint venture with you, not because we're trying to steal from your country, but because we think that's actually a security guarantee. If we're your partner in an important economic endeavor, we get to get paid back some of the money the taxpayers have given, close to $200 billion. And it also, now we have a vested interest in the security of Ukraine. And he said, sure, we want to do this deal. It makes all the sense in the world. The only thing is I need to run it through my legislative process. They have to approve it. I read 2 days later that Zelensky's out there saying, I rejected the deal. I told him no way that we're not doing that. Well, that's not what happened in that meeting. So you start to get upset by somebody. We're trying to help these guys. One of the points the president made in his messaging is, it's not that we don't care about Ukraine, but Ukraine is on another continent. You know, it doesn't directly impact the daily lives of Americans. We care about it because it has implications for our allies and ultimately for the world. There should be some level of gratitude here about this. And when you don't see it and you see him out there accusing the president of living in a world of disinformation, that's highly, very counterproductive. And I don't need to explain to you or anybody else, President Trump's not the kind of person that's going to sit there and take that. He's very transparent. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels. And he sent a message that he's not going to get gamed here. He's willing to work on peace because he cares about Ukraine. And he hopes Zelensky will be a partner in that, and not someone who's out there putting this sort of counter messaging to try to, you know, hustle us in that regard. That's not going to be productive here.
So there's a couple reasons why Zelensky is upset. Some of it justified, some of it not. Rubio, we discussed mineral rights with Zelensky, and just so you know, he's now caved. That came out right before the podcast and is now going to go along with the mineral rights deal. We discussed the mineral rights with Zelensky, and he said, we want to be in a joint venture with you because we think we need a security guarantee. In other words, so we don't lose the $250 billion that we sent there. It's like we lost the trillion, $2 trillion that we spent, $4 trillion that we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan, which we'll never see again, which we should have gotten back in mineral rights, i.e. oil. We need to be paid back some $200 billion of taxpayer money we've given you. He said, sure, I need to run it through my legislative process. That's what Zelensky said to Marco Rubio and the President of the United States. And then Marco Rubio reads 2 days later, he's saying he rejected the deal, that's not what happened. And Rubio says that's not what happened in the meeting. He didn't reject the meeting. He goes out publicly later on and says that he rejected it. Now Zelensky has one, in one way, Zelensky is right to be mad. Because remember, and I know that all of you that watch this podcast have heard this 5,000 times, but 5 days after this war began, the offensive movement from Russia began, there was a deal on the table orchestrated by the Turkish regime. Yeah. And witnessed by, at that time, the prime minister of Israel. There was a deal on the table that both Zelensky and Putin agreed to, which was simply Ukraine would not try to go into NATO without any loss of territory. No loss of territory. They just wouldn't go into NATO. And the war was over in 5 days. Hardly anybody had died at that point because Russia had barely moved across the line in 5 days. And then they dispatched Boris Johnson, who's supposed to be a conservative from the Tory party, which is a joke. It's nothing different. There's no difference between a rhino and a member of the Tory party. They dispatch him to reinitiate the war and tell Zelensky to fight on. We've got your back. And as Jeffrey Sachs says, not your front because you're all going to die. And right now between 600,000 and a million Ukrainians are casualties in this war, either dead or wounded. So Zelensky has a right in some sense to be mad because he's like, you know what? You guys talked me into this thing. Although it was Biden who did it because as Trump said, the war would never have happened. The war would not have happened. So now does he really trust Trump? Probably not. And not to mention, Zelensky is not exactly a global ambassador. This is a guy who used to run around in tights and twerk. This is, as Trump said, a semi-successful comedic actor. I mean, he has no skills whatsoever. He's way out of his element. And he's getting filthy, rotten rich with these payments, as is all of his cabinet and his administration are all getting filthy, rotten rich. So there's the corruption side of it, where he's received about $71 billion out of the, he says, $177 billion that we sent over there. Donald Trump says $250 to $350 billion have been sent over, and he's only received $71 billion of it. So less than 50% of the money, he says, that, you know, that he's received, 48%. From his statistics, not even Trump's. Well, Trump's is even less than that. So he has sort of a right to be upset, but of course he's also a very corrupt oligarch, is really what he is. He's nothing more than an oligarch. He's an authoritarian dictator slash oligarch because he's receiving a lot of this money also because he keeps buying mansions. Where's he getting that money from? The exorbitant pay that he gets, the salary that he gets for being prime minister of Ukraine? No, he's getting that from the billions of dollars that we're sending over there. Plus, we pushed him into the war. It was us in the UK, and the UK right now is talking about putting soldiers in a demilitarized zone, and everyone's going, no, thank you. All right, let me show you this. This is more of a theoretical statement. It's a philosophical statement. I absolutely love it. It's the first time I've ever heard it. It comes from World War II, but it's Elon Musk talking, and he's applying it to the Ukraine. Play it for me.
Young boys who don't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men that do know each other. But the reason I proposed some sort of truce or peace a year ago was because I predicted pretty much exactly what would happen, which is a lot of people dying for basically almost no changes in land. And the loss of the flower of Ukrainian and Russian youth, and we should have some sympathy for the Russian boys as well as the Ukrainian boys, because the Russian boys didn't ask to be on their front line. They have to be. So there's a lot of sons not coming back to their parents, you know, and I think most of them don't really have, they don't hate the other side. You know, it's sort of like, as this saying about, like this saying comes from World War I, it's like young boys who don't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men that do know each other.
And I will never, ever, I wrote it down here. I'm going to keep it in my office because I may end up getting some kind of artwork done with this. I'm not kidding you, because it absolutely epitomizes war. Young boys who don't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men that do know each other. And that came from World War I, because every one of those monarchs in that war, they were related by blood. And even some of them looked like freaking twins. And none of them were ever touched. It's just like every Democratic Party policy, right? You're not allowed to have guns, but they're protected by guns. You're not allowed to have walls, but they're protected by walls. They make sure that they orchestrate the electing of Soros prosecutors that don't prosecute crime. And everybody who's middle class or lower middle class or lower class, whatever, they're all victimized by the crime, but not by the people who orchestrated that political movement, that political exercise. They're all untouched. They're all untouched by the very policies that they implement. And it's the same thing with this war. All, you know, the military-industrial complex, they know the politicians, and the politicians know them. The old men, young boys who don't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men who do know each other. Military-industrial complex knows Zelensky. Zelensky knows Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping knows the military-industrial complex. They all know BlackRock, old men. Young boys killing each other on behalf of young boys who don't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men who do know each other. And it needs to stop. I understand if it's self-defense, but listen, folks, it's all a mirage. I'm telling you right now, it's all a mirage with notable exceptions, but it's all a mirage. Everything that we think was these spontaneous battles that happened in history. And listen, they're same heroes. They're still heroes. They're all still heroes because people didn't know. Men who stormed beaches of Normandy were heroes, but really what they were young boys who didn't know each other, killing each other on behalf of old men who do know each other. You look at what happened with Pearl Harbor, that stuff's starting to come out, and Trump needs to declassify the files. I've already heard talk about it, of declassifying the files behind what happened at Pearl Harbor. We're not going to like it. It's going to put America in a different light. We need to embrace it, go back to the original republic. From the movie Gladiator, there was a dream, that was Rome, and it was a republic. We need to go back to that. All right, Daily Mail News, here it is. Zelensky surrenders to Trump and will sign mineral deal within hours. There we go. We'll wait for that and see if it comes out. But Daily Mail is very reliable. So Zelensky has caved. He's going to pay us back with rare mineral rights inside of Ukraine. And there it is. Trump wins again. Why wasn't this done by Biden? He had 4 years. Well, I'm sorry. Only 3 years, because the war started in 2022. So he had all 22, all 23, all 24. But instead of just giving them with loan guarantees, $200 billion is never going to be paid back, he could have secured all of our money with rare mineral rights that we have to have. We want the chips. We want our cars to run. All those different things. We want those rare minerals. That could have been secured by the Biden administration. Why aren't they able to do it? Trump said, how long has he been in office? I think 1 month anniversary was yesterday.
Yep.
So 1 month and a day. Yep. 1 month and a day. He's been in office 32 days. 32 days. Look what Trump has accomplished. How could you possibly ever embrace being a Democrat and actually thinking you're right? When your president did nothing for 4 years except for cause hyperinflation, 15,000 illegals a day crossing the southern border, and vast, massive increase in fentanyl deaths, a massive increase in felonious crime. And that's all that the man accomplished. And he didn't accomplish anything. Go, Aaron.
He did vacation a lot, though.
He spent over 40% of his term on vacation.
That's important.
And people are already tracking the amount of time that Trump plays golf. I know he has played a little golf in Mar-a-Lago, but he's at the White House for 18 hours a day. He's there. He sleeps for 3 hours, 3 hours a night. That's it. And never drinks water. He lives on Diet Coke. Look, I mean, imagine he secured mineral rights from Ukraine in a month. They've already put out a binder of all of Trump's accomplishments. I need to do that because I've got my list of USAID expenditures and government waste expenditures. I've got that. But I need to have a long list of all of Trump's accomplishments in 31 days. All right, let's go to the next one. Carly Bonet video, switching out to California now. L.A. Mayor Bass removes the fire chief. Oh, so now they're going to blame somebody for these fires. They're going to cast blame on somebody. Play it for me.
A few moments ago, Fox News alert, Los Angeles Mayor Bass has removed Kristen Crawley as the fire chief there. A statement was just issued in which she wrote, quote, "We know that 1,000 firefighters that could have been on duty on the morning the fires broke out were instead sent home on Chief Crawley's watch. Furthermore, a necessary step to an investigation was the president of the fire commission telling Chief Crawley to do an after-action report on the fires. The chief refused. These require her removal." Mayor Bass has appointed former Chief Deputy Ronnie Villanueva, a 41-year-old LAFD veteran, as the interim fire chief. That is just into us. The mayor there in L.A. removing the fire chief, Chris.
Now, obviously, I'm no fan of Kristen Crowley because her sole qualification for being the fire chief of L.A. is that she's a lesbian and she's a woman and incapable of doing all the physical requirements to be a firefighter. Those are her qualifications. So I'm no big fan of hers. However, these fires certainly weren't her fault. They certainly weren't. Now, you could say that she should have been advocating to be more prepared, but she acknowledged she got $17 million cut from her budget. So they were way down on fire trucks, way down on ambulances, way down on hoses, and the excess stuff that they did have was sent to what country? Can anybody name it? Ukraine. So she had some complaint, and she actually was rather vocal about it. She said, basically, when she was asked by some mainstream media outlet, were you let down by your city leadership? She said, yes. So credit to her on that. But here comes Karen Bass. Now, again, let's break this down, though. So you had a reservoir, which is gravity-fed. Now, if it's a gravity-fed system, in other words, the reservoir is way above all of your fire hydrants or your water dispensation centers, right? So it's gravity-fed. So you want, of course, your reservoir up there. Would you probably want water in it? I mean, I'm no expert in anything. I mean, certainly not. But if it's a gravity-fed system, wouldn't you want your highest reservoir to be full of water, not be emptied for a one-year repair, and not 1 ounce of repair had been done on it? But it was again, believe me, folks, I know this was all on purpose. I get it, but if you just say it's on purpose, then the conversation's over. Take away all the technicalities and specificity. So, yeah, the gravity-fed system, that's got nothing to do with Kristen Crowley. Nothing to do with her at all. That has to do with Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom. That's who it has to do with. They know the reservoir is empty. They know it's a reservoir system. Was it Kristen Crowley's fault? There's no water coming out of your fire hydrants? So you have no water coming out of the hydrants. You're severely short of fire trucks because $17 million was taken out of your budget, so none of them can be repaired. Severely short of water trucks too, severely short of ambulances, severely short of hoses and everything else because $17 million was cut from your budget, and severely short of firefighters yourself, severely short of firefighters themselves. So it's somehow her fault because she won't write an after-action report and she sent home 1,000 firefighters on that day. Now, that needs to be answered for, obviously, but maybe she's part of the plan to destroy Pacific Palisades. Kristen Crowley, I'm talking. I don't know. Because this is obviously on purpose, because how in the world, if it gets to a level of galactic ineptitude that's unexplainable, then it has to be on purpose. Again, if it's illogical and unexplainable, then it has to be nefarious. It has to be. It's impossible to reach these levels of incompetence where you go to fight a fire during the fire season, where you have the Santa Ana winds are going to blow sometime in those months, and you know they're going to blow, and they're forecast to blow, and you know that because they knew 2 days in advance they were going to blow. And, of course, she's out of the country in Ghana for some swearing in of some Ghana political official. You know why she was doing that, by the way? Because they're wanting to set up these African embassies in these, what do they call them? They're not embassies. They're called, can't remember. But anyway, these offices, consulates. They want to set these consulates up in L.A. from African countries. That's why she was there. And she knew what the forecast was. She knows what the weather is in California. Maybe she's stupid. It's too stupid to know. And again, nobody has any insurance. Why don't they have insurance? Because the insurance company says we're going to have to raise rates because we're going to lose our rear ends because the Santa Ana winds are going to blow. They're going to spark with your power poles that were built in 1951 again, because they spark every year and burn down vast swaths of LA. So we're going to have to raise the rates. Governor Newsom would let them, so they canceled all their insurance policies as if it's all on purpose. So just like Maui, just like Lahaina and Maui, they have a fire and no water. That's weird. It's all the same thing. Same tactics over and over and over again. Same agenda, same tactics with slight variances over and over and over again. No water coming out of the hydrants to put the fires out. And then once they burn everything down, nobody has insurance. And by the way, just like we documented, it's been a year and a half since the Lahaina fires. Not one house has been rebuilt, statistically speaking. Not one. There's been like one or two. But statistically speaking, no houses have been rebuilt. And nobody's even allowed to access their property. And you know what they're not able to do in Pacific Palisades right now or Malibu Beach? Can you guess? They can't access their property. Didn't Karen Bass say that the next day she was going to allow her residents to access their property and then maybe a week after that? Well, now how long has it been? And they still can't access their property. Because simply, all they want to have all these people who don't have any insurance now, they're going to be forced to do what? Because a lot of those houses are heritage houses in Pacific Palisades. They're not all multimillionaires. They were handed down. It's just like somebody in the state of Florida. If somebody gives you their beach home that was built in 1948, because a lot of those houses are that old there. They're nice houses. They're built out of concrete. They're nice houses, so they last forever. They hand you a beach house right where I live here. And on Nokomis Beach here in Florida, they hand you a house that was built in 1948. Well, it cost them $57,000. Well, now it's worth $12 million, right? But you have no insurance. You have no ability to rebuild. Well, don't worry. Guess who's coming? Aaron, can you guess what company's coming?
BlackRock.
Yeah, they're coming. Don't worry. They're coming. They're coming to rebuild, just like BlackRock's going to rebuild Ukraine via the IMF and the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, the Pritzker family. They're all right there, ready to build a 15-minute city that they're all going to profit from, and then they can control all your activities because the entire 15-minute city will be a smart city living up to the new scum environmental standards. Ah. And the environmental standards that have nothing to do with the environment, they have everything to do with control, where they ask you routinely in the state of California, please don't charge your electric cars that we forced you into because we're about to have a black brownout. That happens all the time there. That's why they want to get everybody into electric cars where there is no grid to actually charge the electric cars. That's what they want. So that way, again, you're forced onto mass transit, which they can control. That's what it's all about. Listen, it's all about the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 14. Here's another interesting little side note right here. Not really a side note, kind of a really big deal. The disrespected trucker video. Look who's been murdered. Play it for me.
Do y'all remember this woman? California Fire Captain Rebecca Marotti. Well, during the California wildfires last month, she was in the news quite a bit. One, for the tireless efforts she put forth trying to fight the fires, but also because she was called a DEI hire. Well, she's dead. She was found in her home with multiple stab wounds, and nobody has yet been arrested. Now, here's what we do know. She was off duty at the time of her death, and they believe that the person who did this to her was somebody she knew. They are ruling it as a homicide and saying that it could very much be part of a domestic violence attack. Now, when first responders arrived to the scene, it sounds like she was still alive. They began life-saving measures immediately, but ultimately she succumbed to her wounds and was pronounced dead at the scene. I can also tell you that they haven't named a formal suspect at this point in time, but they are looking for her wife, who they've not been able to find, locate, or have heard from. Anyways, this is something that I will try to keep watching, keep you guys up to date on. Make sure to hit that follow button if you don't already. Of course, drop your thoughts about this one in the comments. And if you don't follow me on my Substack or other platforms like Instagram, please do so.
So there you go. So Rebecca Marotti, strangely, because she's part of the dynamic threesome they had there, where everybody is a butch lesbian running the LA Fire Department. You had the one, the assistant fire chief, who strangely wasn't promoted to fire chief. The one who put out the video saying that, you know, what would you do if you had a 200-pound man stranded in a fire? And her response was, well, obviously his own behavior put him there to begin with, so he put himself in that situation. That's what they actually put on a promotional video. So it's funny how she hasn't been promoted to fire chief. That's weird, isn't it? So here you have the other one of the fearsome threesome, Rebecca Marotti, who ends up dead. Weird. It's weird, isn't it? Well, yeah, you have the DNC hacked, and then Seth Rich is murdered right afterwards, after it's exposed that it wasn't really hacked by Russians. I mean, it's weird, isn't it, how these people end up dying all the time? It's weird. So here you have this woman. It appears to be a murder, and it's from her wife. I know that's, you meant her husband. No, I mean her wife, of course. It's from her wife, who actually has a possible history of homicide. Just kind of odd, isn't it, how these people are strategically killed off, like Jeffrey Epstein? Weird. Speaking of DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, here's one that I didn't know. 56 second video from Matt Walsh. It seems there are problems with DEI pilots. I didn't even know about this one. Play it for me.
This is a crash you probably haven't heard much about. I'll show you. This is footage taken by a passenger on board Southwest Flight 345. It shows the moment that the front landing gear collapsed as soon as the plane touched the ground.
This plane is not going to move unless they got a tow truck or something. Yeah, the wheel is gone.
Now, an investigation revealed that the captain of this flight was a woman who had multiple complaints filed against her by her co-pilots. She allowed the plane to descend rapidly towards the ground without properly configuring the flaps for landing, and then she aggressively took control of the plane herself and flew it nose first into the runway. This particular captain was notorious for inappropriate and dangerous behavior in the cockpit, thought the complaints were really about her gender or her sexuality instead of her competence, and apparently Southwest agreed.
Well, luckily we had the Joe Biden FAA rules who make it impossible to file a complaint, and after a complaint is filed, there's no repercussions because you're not allowed to institute repercussions because of DEI policies inside of the FAA. Isn't that great? That all disciplinary procedures inside of the FAA were rendered null and void by the Biden administration. So you have this crazed pilot, notorious for dangerous behavior and inappropriate behavior, which what on earth does that mean? I don't know. Dangerous, obviously, is very explainable, but inappropriate, who knows what that means, where she inexplicably takes over the landing of a plane and plunges it nose first into the freaking ground. Isn't it very strange, too, because that's exactly what happened. It appears to be what happened in the Toronto crash that just occurred. Who's flying that plane? I don't know, because that's in Canada. And being the DEI culture in Canada, they'll probably never release that, because if it was a woman that was flying it, they'd never want anybody to know. And it'd be funny, because imagine being, if you're defending a narrative or an agenda that's actually harmful, why would you ever defend it? If it's actually harmful, why would you ever defend a harmful narrative or agenda? For the sake of winning when it's actually a harmful or dangerous narrative and agenda. I really, really don't get it. All right, let me cover this, because I talked about this last night. I have no freaking idea what's happening at CPAC with Jake Lang and all that and all the J6ers. I have no idea. And again, I'm not going to go on a long spiel about this, but I have a very balanced approach to J6. I've told you it before. I'll explain it just so everybody knows where I stand on it. J6 was, without a doubt, a Fed insurrection. Were there stupid things done by conservatives? Listen, we cannot be acolytes. We cannot be acolytes. We have to speak the truth. There's video of Trump people doing stupid things. Would everybody agree? There was. There is. Okay, if you see a smashed window and you crawl through that smashed window, okay, you're committing a crime by doing that. Okay? Now, that being said, nobody deserved long prison sentences, that's for sure. Although Enrique Otero got arrested today. And I'll show you that video before we go. I'm like, grow a freaking brain. There, Sam, Mike Griffiths just put it out. Yeah, I know. Did you watch the video, Mike? I mean, why are you there? Why are you there, Enrico? Enrique, why are you there? They're going to set you up. I mean, what are you thinking? Yeah. Showing up to a leftist rally.
So stupid.
What are you doing? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to be a sycophant or an acolyte for J6ers. I'm not. Do I agree that they all were railroaded in their trials? Absolutely. Fake charges, enhanced charges. You got Fanone and you got Dunn and you got Gunnell all lying under oath about injuries that didn't occur to enhance sentences. I know, and I believe this was stoked by, incited by feds in the crowd. I believe that. But And anybody who did actually commit a crime, who's a J6er, their sentence should have long since been over by now. So it's a balanced approach. Does that all make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, it's a balanced approach.
Yeah.
And there's people there that are absolutely arrested for doing nothing wrong, too. Like Matthew Graves arresting people for knowingly trespass. You trespass without knowing it. Tom, that couldn't have happened. Yeah, it was. He was going to arrest over 1,000 people for doing that. When they removed the barriers, nobody had any idea that they were trespassing because they're standing out there on the grass. He was going after all of them, too. If Kamala Harris was president right now, there'd be 1,400 more arrests right now. And none of them should be arrested. So this is a balanced approach, folks. And what's happening at CPAC? I don't know. I do not agree with CPAC kicking out J6ers at all because, depending on what a J6er did or didn't do, they have an element of being a hero. Some do, some don't. Because some of them did stupid things. Now, even if they did a stupid thing, they got stuck in jail for 4 years for what would normally be a $200 fine. So believe me, I know law enforcement for 25 years, right where I'm sitting, Sarasota County, Florida. So for some reason, Matt Schlapp and Mercedes Schlapp are playing some sort of Potomac two-step establishment rhino Republican game with J6ers at CPAC. Because you have J6er Jake Lang, who spent $10,000 on a booth and spent all kinds of money flying over 20 J6ers down to CPAC. You got Steve Bannon welcoming them, and then they get kicked out of CPAC, and then Matt Schlapp says it was a mistake, and then we're not kicking them out, and then kicked them out again. I don't, Tom, what's, nobody knows. I've looked. Nobody knows what's really going on. If you claim you know, you don't know. Nobody knows. You got basically CPAC talking out of both ends of its mouth. I have no idea what's happening. So here's Jake Lang, January 6th political prisoner video. Outrageous 22-year-old J6 political prisoner, Isaac Thomas, violently assaulted by CPAC security. Play for me.
Here we go again. Okay, that officer has assaulted that young man. I'm pretty sure. This is actually CPAC. This is how they're treating J6ers. It's incredible. This is unbelievable. They just threw a bunch out again. Here they are. Look, there's Coy. Look here. Here they are. Look, this here. So here's Jake. Here's Coy. I just got this all worked out for them to be here. And they assaulted this young man in the process. I got it on video. I have it. I've got it, sir. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so there you go. And all those guys are credentialed and kicked out. And then Matt Schlapp says they made a mistake and shouldn't have kicked them out. And then kicks them out the next day again. Like, what? Explain it. I can't explain it. And then Bannon saying this from Grace Chung. Play for me.
And the J6ers are here at CPAC. All of them. From the medium-high security prisons to the U.S. penitentiaries. To the men that got diesel therapy, all of them are here. Right? They don't like that up there. You don't like the J6ers being here. The J6ers are here. Hey, and let me tell you something else. I talked to Ambassador Rick Grenell last night, and the J6ers, I think, the J6 choir is going to play the Kennedy Center for a night in honor of their families. In fact, I got an idea. The night that they play, the J6 choir plays and opens the new with Rick Grenell and President Trump as chairman. We have the J6 choir, right? And we invite all the families they try to destroy, the J6ers, and they get to sit in the boxes where the elite sit, right? And we take the elite for just one night, and we take them down to the D.C. gulag, right? For one night. Think they can handle that?
No.
I don't think so either.
So, Tom, explain to us what's happening. I don't know, folks. That was after they were kicked out, I think. And he made that statement because I think he was responding after Matt Schlapp said he was letting them back in and kicked them out again. I have no, and again, I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know if that was after the initial kick out or not, but some sort of convoluted, conflated messaging going on out of CPAC. I have no idea what's happening. No idea. And nobody does. I looked, and there's nothing on it. Nobody has any explanation about what's happened at CPAC. Nobody does. Nobody in the chat does either. Nobody knows. I have no clue what on earth is going on. For the record, should the J6ers be there? Absolutely. These are people who are absolutely railroaded by the judicial system in this country. When they should have gotten a five-day sentence, they got a five-year sentence. And then enhanced to 8 years by fraudulent testimony, by someone like Fanone or Dunn or Gunnell. Sentence enhancements based on these officers claiming that they were injured, but they were never injured. We have the video. And you had these J6 defendants where they have exculpatory video footage where they would totally show that they were never even involved in that which they're accused of being involved with, but their defense attorneys weren't given the exculpatory video footage because it was a threat to national security. So you can't defend yourself. So none of these, I mean, there is heroism involved with J6ers, and they certainly should be allowed at CPAC. We have Julie Kelly testifying about J6. Julie Kelly, the biggest advocate for J6 prisoners, was there testifying, talking, giving a talk on the main stage of CPAC. And Julie Kelly's awesome. Why? And they kicked out the J6ers? I have no idea. Is this some sort of last vestige of establishment Republicanism, swamp Republicanism, not wanting to be besmirched with the stench of J6? I have no idea. No idea. Nobody does. Here's the last one here. MAGA Eminem video. Ex-Proud Boys leader Enrique Terrio's alleged assault. Now listen, this is not an assault, and there's not. I can tell you, if I was the cop here, I certainly wouldn't have arrested him. But who's the cops here? Capitol Police. The Capitol Police like Enrique Terrio? No, and the Capitol Police are majorly corrupt. Obviously, they all talk about an outfit that needs to be completely fired and replaced with something else. It's the Capitol Police, but. Here's Enrique Terrio showing up at a leftist anti-Musk rally. Aaron, why?
Yeah, dude.
You just got pardoned for a 22-year prison sentence. And you talk about an unjust prison sentence. He was sentenced to 22 years in prison for inciting an insurrection. He wasn't at. Nor did he incite it. There's only two things missing. He wasn't there, and he didn't incite it. And he was fully pardoned, but yet he shows up at this thing. And what's going to happen? Another insurrection, another incitement by leftists to get you to commit a crime. And he falls right into it. Play it for me.
You can't just touch people.
It's not a pardon, it's Superior Court.
You don't get to just put your hands on people. You don't get to come here and do whatever the f*** you want. You just assaulted me, and now you're getting arrested. Good f***ing job, you idiot, you pathetic piece of s***.
So you give this leftist twit the ability to speak over you like that. Why are you there? Why are you go? I mean, he should have gone to CPAC. He got kicked out of CPAC. At least you wouldn't be arrested. And Aaron, put yourself on. What does Gronk say?
So Gronk, I just looked up just to see if it had any information on why these people were kicked out of CPAC.
Yep.
And it said that it was unclear, that there was no real information from CPAC or from Jake Lang, but that the possibility of Paul Ryan being involved is there.
Oh, Paul Ryan. Oh, my gosh. I can't even start with Paul Ryan. It's 10:26, almost 10:27.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. All right, that's it. Listen, join us at churches. I'll get to the Rumble Rants here and leave those up. Join us this Sunday, right? Coming up now, join us. Trump is great. The administration is great. Greatest 32 days ever in an administration. But you got to have Jesus, because that ain't going to get you to heaven. So join us this Sunday from wherever you live around the world. We are live. Make sure I get them all in. We're live on Rumble.
Yep.
We're live on Twitter.
Yep.
We're live on Facebook.
Yep.
What else?
Black Robe.
So we are live on all of it. So join us. I will take the stage at about 11:05 Eastern time. Aaron leads our worship. I mean, you want to hear the best band around. Brent's wife sings in, is a worship leader, is a singer in our worship team. So listen, Aaron will take the stage somewhere around 10:15-ish, something like that, right after announcements. So you'll see Aaron, you'll see me, and listen, the church is the exact same as the podcast. It really is. You're like, Tom, you'll say anything from the pulpit? I'll say anything from the pulpit. And just like I adhere to the Constitution, I adhere to the Bible. It's hellfire and brimstone and the promises of God all in one message. So join us this Sunday. You got to have Jesus. You got to have a Savior. Let's break our record. 712 live viewers is our record. Let's break it this Sunday. Like and share. Get it out to everybody. Let's at least break that record. Right now we're averaging between 650 and 700, which is awesome. And I appreciate each and every one of you, but let's break the record this Sunday. Rumble Rants, Nate Dad won. $50, thank you so much, Hassle-Free TV. $25, the matriarch of the Rumble Rant. Tammy L. Margaretter, $10. Jules, 21 hours. $5, ATC Terry, $1. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Love you all. So I'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m.-ish or 11, whenever you join. And if not, then I'll see you Monday night at 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.